You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On the Washington Football Team with the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm your host, David Harris, and Chris Russell. Off for today's episode. Welcome, new listeners, returning listeners. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show. Leave a rating, leave a review. It'll help other fans of the franchise find the show just like you did when we are not here. You can find Chris at the Team 980, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, with his co-host there, Pete Medhurst. Find Russell and Medhurst on the Odyssey app, as well as Locked On WFT Pod. Also on the Odyssey app, you can also find Chris in writing, covering your Washington football team for SI.com. On Twitter at RussellMania621. I am at DHarrison82, and the show is at Locked WFT Pod. Today's episode brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Here on today's show, unfortunately, we are going to be talking COVID, ladies and gentlemen. COVID-19 rearing its ugly head during training camp, so we are going to go over some of that news, and then we are going to hear from two people. We're going to hear from Brandon Scherff in segment two, a recent post-training camp practice comment he made about being a member of the franchise for the duration of his career. We're going to catch up on that, and then we're going to hear from Julian Council, host of the Locked On Carolina Panthers podcast. He has some interesting things to say about Curtis Samuel and his fit in the Norv Turner / Scott Turner offense. So we'll hear from him as well. And then Madden ratings are on deck. They are being released. So segment three, we're going to talk about those ratings. But like I said, to start off today's show, we're talking COVID-19. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it is what it is. It's going to be a big part of this season, guys. And it continues to be a big part of training camp as Daron Payne, just the latest member of the Washington football team franchise to go on the reserve COVID-19 list. He did tweet out subsequently that, quote, "I do not have COVID." And then he also put on a hand slapping the face emoji character there at the end of that tweet, end quote. Perhaps the most interesting quote I've ever had to read with an emoji description in it. But listen, Daron Payne on the list. If he doesn't have COVID, that means he's on the list as a close contact. And as it's been pointed out time and time again for other players, you don't go on the reserve COVID-19 list as a close contact unless you were unvaccinated. So essentially, these guys going on this list because of being a close contact, not actually having COVID-19 themselves, means that they're being outed essentially as being unvaccinated, whether you know they care about being outed, quote unquote, for that or not. Of course, everybody has their opinions on it. Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team, has been very boisterous about his opinion and his desire to have as many players get the vaccination as possible, citing recently his frustrations with the low number on the team, still one of the lowest vaccination rates across the National Football League. And Coach Rivera talking about this, there's seven guys at the time of this, and I mean, there might be even more by the time I'm actually sitting down to record this and by the time you listen to this. Coach Rivera sat down and talked about how, you know, all of these guys, Brandon Scherff, Curtis Samuel, Matt Ioannidis, Daron Payne, they would not be, and the other guys, they would not be available for a game this weekend if there was a game this weekend due to the protocols and the agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA for players who are unvaccinated, who do have the virus, and then who are in close contact. Of course, you know, there's a possibility that even if you're vaccinated, you have, you contract the virus, that you don't, you're not going to be able to play. But I think Coach Rivera's message here is essentially doing everything you can, you know, in preparation for your team and in support of your team to make sure that you are available. We've talked about it plenty of times on this show. The best ability, the greatest ability in the National Football League, of course, is availability. And those are some very important players. Obviously, the team knows, you know, what it means to be without Matt Ioannidis. So to miss out on his services potentially because of this would be a shame. Obviously, Daron Payne is a huge part. Curtis Samuel expected to be a big new part of this offense along with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. So if you miss him for the first, you know, part of the season, do something like this. And then Brandon Scherff, I mean, we're going to hear about Brandon on his long-term future, future with the franchise here. But Brandon Scherff, someone that we've talked about on this show plenty of times before, playing on a contract or a franchise tag again, still in look for that long-term contract. You know, again, you got to be available for the team and you got to kind of show them that, you know, you're going to do what you need to do. And that's part of the decision-making process, right? Everybody's got to take that into account. And Coach Rivera has talked about it again and said that some of these guys are just so dug in, you know, against getting the vaccination that there's really, you know, nothing that you can probably say to them to convince them otherwise. And some of them are just kind of don't know. They don't know the information out there. They haven't done the research or talked to enough people. So Coach Rivera, the medical staff, whoever is in there willing to kind of talk to these guys about what it really means, what the ramifications potentially are of not getting it, of getting it, et cetera, et cetera. And it's still something that everybody's kind of learning as we go, I think. So a little bit of confusion, a little bit of conflict, I think is to be expected, but you can kind of see here why the head coach of this football team is as frustrated as he is, you know, something that's not football related, essentially rearing its ugly head into their operations and disrupting what they're trying to put together, you know, with a very good roster. And look, again, we talked about this before, Chris and I, you know, you have to make the decisions that you make for yourself. There have been other players who have come out and said that if, you know, if they had to choose between getting the vaccine or sitting out the season, that they would sit out the season. We know there were players last year who decided to sit out the season as well. These guys, you know, they make enough money. If they have enough money stored away and they're smart financially, that they can take that year off if they so choose. You know, if that's their prerogative, that's their prerogative. All Coach Rivera and anybody else can do is try to, you know, reason and give the reasons why they feel like they should receive the vaccine in support of the organization and the team. And just a little bit of clarification going on as we get through this process on the close contacts thing, because that's kind of been a point of contention. I saw something with related to Kirk Cousins, now obviously with the Minnesota Vikings, as I think all of their quarterbacks or three of their quarterbacks went on the reserve COVID-19 list, all of them because they're close contacts, all of them unvaccinated, and that kind of, you know, it reared its ugly head there. You know, what if a team were to go have to go with no quarterbacks because of this whole ordeal? And, you know, again, you know, a lot of players have gone on record saying that, you know, they respect each other's decisions and the other players' decisions. Those who have been vaccinated respect the decisions of those who are not. Those who are unvaccinated, same thing. They respect the decisions of those who are. It'll continue to be a storyline as we move through the preseason towards the regular season. And it's, you know, bottom line, guys, I mean, just the way that it's kind of working out right now, I don't think there is a way that COVID-19 doesn't impact the scheduling, the play, and the results of at least one game this regular season. And of course, that adds a whole new layer to things. And a more trivial layer to that is if you're a betting type of person, you put money on a game, something like this happens right before kickoff, you may or may not have time to adjust. But no matter how you're doing your betting, we hope that you're doing with our friends over at BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, whether it be baseball, which is in full swing, or the NFL coming up, NBA free agency is going on. There might be some prop bets involved there. Before the next contest, head over to betonline.ag. Using your laptop or mobile device, check out all their great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Again, head to betonline.ag, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back now for 72 here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. David Harrison coming at you solo on today's episode of my co-host Chris Russell off for now. You can find him on Twitter at WrestleMania621. Find the show at LockedWFTPod and find me at DHarrison82. I mentioned it earlier, guys. Brandon Scherff talked recently with the media and was asked about his long-term future and outlook with the organization. So for those of you who haven't heard it yet, let's listen into what Brandon had to say.
First time we're seeing you since your contract situation came to a head there. You're back on the tag. For some guys, playing on the one-year deal is the way to go. Others may be miffed they didn't get a longer-term deal. How comfortable are you with your situation right now?
Well, I'm comfortable. You know, I'm excited to be here again. I keep stating that I want to be here the rest of my career. So I'm here for another year, and I'm hopefully going to be here for the future, and that's my goal. But all I can focus on playing this year and playing the best that I can and, being that leader for everybody else.
Sorry to ask another longer-term question, but obviously to this point, neither you guys haven't been able to negotiate a long-term deal. You've done a tag twice, a third tag seems unlikely. So how confident would you be to actually be able to figure out a long-term deal if you haven't been able to this point?
I'm very confident. You know, like I said, I've always stated I want to be here the rest of my career, so I'm very confident in that.
All right, guys, again, that is Washington Football Team interior offensive lineman Brandon Scherff responding to a question from media about his long-term future with the franchise, stating, again, what we've already kind of known is that Brandon Scherff wants to be in Washington for the duration of his career, and you have to admire that desire. You have to admire, you know, that want to stay with one franchise for your entire career. But then you also have to look at this, you know, there's two sides of these negotiations, right? There's one side that's coming from the organization saying, look, you've had some injury issues. Maybe, you know, the outside might say that you're like a top five guy, but maybe we view you as a top 10, top 15 guy, and we're going to pay you as such. And then there's Brandon's side and his agents, and then, you know, saying, look at what everybody says about us. Look how talented we are when we're on the field, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of the balance that has to be struck. And if Brandon has his eyes on a number that the team is not willing to meet, he's either going to have to come down on that number or hope that he proves himself important enough and valuable enough to the team that they have to
come up and match his number. We'll see what happens this offseason. But again, I think everybody, and you kind of hear it in the voice of the person asking the question, there are not a lot of optimism that this thing is going to get done and that Brandon Scherff would be a Washington Red Wolf, Red Tail, whatever the team becomes after the season. Not a lot of confidence that Brandon Scherff is going to be there to don the new uniform for the organization. Of course, there's a new guy to the franchise that we're pretty sure is going to be wearing whatever that new uniform, that new logo is, and that is wide receiver Curtis Samuel. Recently, I sat down with Julian Council of the Locked On Panthers podcast to talk about the former Carolina wide receiver, so let's listen into that conversation. Joining me now here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, Julian Council, host of the Locked On Panthers podcast on Twitter, at Julian Council. Guys, the link for him on Twitter will be in the show description here, so make sure you go down there, give Julian a follow, make you a lot smarter on things Carolina Panthers. And of course, why should you care about the Carolina Panthers? Well, for one, this gentleman is very, very smart on your coaching staff, and specifically a player joining the Washington Football Team this year, and that of course is wide receiver Curtis Samuel. Full disclosure here, I had Julian on the Locked On Bucks podcast, actually this episode airing before that episode, so just funny how things will work. But we were talking about some of the losses that the Carolina Panthers suffered between 2020 and 2021. And Julian, you mentioned Curtis Samuel as being kind of the low-hanging fruit. I expected you to isolate Samuel as the biggest loss from this team, from the Carolina Panthers team between the two seasons, but you actually went a different direction. And then you mentioned that you're not sure why Curtis Samuel would go back to Ron Rivera and that coaching staff, that system, that scheme, considering how misused he was in Carolina. That really got me interested. I think Washington fans would be interested as well. So first, let's talk about his days in Carolina. Can you kind of expand on why you say that Curtis Samuel was so misused under Ron Rivera back in their Panthers days?
I wouldn't even necessarily place it on Ron, David. I'd place it on Norv Turner. Like, Norv was basically a dinosaur in the game of football when he took over as the offensive coordinator here in Carolina for the final two seasons of Rivera. And I don't really think Norv had a ton of new concepts. And for him, getting the ball to Curtis Samuel basically came down to jet sweeps and quick outs, when I think Curtis can actually be an all-around wide receiver. And I also, in defense too of Norv, Curtis Samuel kind of came as a hybrid guy at Ohio State. He played a lot of running back, a lot of wide receiver. I think he was still growing into the role as a wide receiver. But I don't think it's coincidence that last season in Carolina, and McCaffrey being out played a large role of it, but I don't think it's coincidence that he had his best season once he got out of that system, with Joe Brady taking over and the Panthers playing a lot more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, which is not necessarily something that Norv Turner liked to implement a lot. He liked to have a lot of tight ends on the field instead of fullback in their personnel, just kind of archaic offensive lies. And now Scott Turner, we'll see how creative he is. I didn't watch a ton of Washington last year.
Yeah,
I just found it curious that he would go back to play for a system where he not wasn't necessarily utilized, not necessarily his best start to his career. Because there's a lot of question marks about Curtis going into last season on whether he really was ever going to be that guy. And as it turned out, you know, he turns out to be a pretty good player, which I don't think anyone ever had any doubt about. It's just, was he, we ever going to get to see it while he was in Carolina? And he got the bag in Washington. So, yeah, to me, it's not necessarily surprising in terms of, like, everyone loves Ron Rivera. He's a player's coach for sure, salt of the earth kind of guy.
Yeah.
But in terms of the numbers that you had and the placement within that scheme, I would have thought that maybe there might have been other options that he would have looked at. But then again, with what's going on with the pandemic and the offseason and free agency, there wasn't a ton of money with the salary cap going down for him to go chase other opportunities. I look at it and I've kind of questioned it a little bit just based off what we saw of him back in a Turner-led offense in Carolina.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think that's a fair assessment. Obviously, you know, Scott Turner, not Norv Turner, but I mean, where did Scott start learning football? Most likely from his father. So some of those tendencies are going to obviously transfer over. When you look at this Washington group, and again, you don't cover the Washington football team, so nobody here listening to this should be expecting you to be an expert on all things WFT. But let's put on kind of the coordinator hat on for a little bit. We all love to be, you know, better coordinators than the guys who are doing it in the NFL. If you have a wide receiver stable of Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, the new guy out of North Carolina, and then you add Curtis Samuel to that group, you also got a running back group featuring guys like Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick. It's kind of like a carbon copy of a lot of the similar type players. To be honest with you, Chris and I, during the offseason, we kind of expected Washington maybe target Kenny Golladay, knowing that he was going to be a more expensive option, but they had the cap space. He's a little bit bigger. than some of the guys they have. They're not a whole lot of top shelf strength and size in this Washington football team offense right now. How would you, if you had the ear of Scott Turner, seeing kind of some of the shortcomings that happened under his father with Curtis Samuel, if we're basically looking to maximize Curtis Samuel, how would you recommend Washington employs him this year?
Well, they got to find ways to get the ball in his hands at every possible moment. Like, Terry McLaurin's going to be your number one guy. Like, that's going to be your top route runner, the dude you're going to be looking for first off, pretty much every time you're out there. Now, I go back to last season. Getting the ball in his hands, not just as a receiver, but as a runner. Because, again, back at Ohio State, he played both positions. And that's something that they didn't really utilize when he came to Carolina. They wanted him to be more of a pure route runner than an all-purpose kind of player. Mm-hmm. He ran it 41 times last season. The year prior to that, 19. And a year prior to that, only 8. So 27 carries over two seasons with Norv Turner, and 41 last year in one season with Joe Brady. So finding a way to get him the football in that situation as a rusher, more so than a receiver, that's the way I would implement it. And he can be a deep ball guy, but I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan. Diami Brown, he's also a Charlotte kid. I mean, the dude is going to be a deep ball threat.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't want to see, for your sake, is Diami Brown trying to run slants across the middle, because he does have a serious drop problem. And there were times last year, and at North Carolina offense, I go back to the Virginia Tech game, where literally they were not stopped at any single point for Virginia Tech in that game, except for twice when they had a punt. They had the punt because Diami Brown dropped a wide open pass on third down over the middle. So that's the one thing I'll say about that. But yeah, getting Curtis Samuel the ball as a rusher, at equal parts as a rusher and a wide receiver, I think is the best way to try and implement things. And not just like the casual jet sweep. Why don't you just put him in the backfield, just hand the ball off to him on an outside zone, inside zone, and figure things out that way. You don't have to do all the trickery. I think he's going to be an excellent player for Washington. I love that young receiving core. And, you know, it's going to be really up to your boy Fitzmagic, who, by the way, as a starting quarterback, has never taken the team to the playoffs. So I thought it was kind of curious how we all have this love affair for Fitzmagic when we've seen plenty of times where this guy does not show up when it really matters. Like week 17 back in 2015 on the road when he was a New York Jets quarterback on the road against Buffalo, completely craps his pants. So good luck with that. I'm just gonna say that. I hope my dad grew up a formerly Redskins fan, football team fan, and I've watched the pain that he's had to endure. Yeah. And it just was surprising to me that that's what y'all want to have as your starter. And then your backups are Kyle Allen, who can't protect the football, and Heinicke, who looked great on that Saturday night game against Tampa, but also seems like a questionable character if you checked out his Twitter account ever.
We will see a whole lot coming from Julian Council, host of Locked On Panthers podcast. Julian, I appreciate it. A little bit of Samuel Brown, some quarterback analysis. And look, I am cautiously optimistic about what we're going to get out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I've told our audience several times, I love the man himself from covering with the Buccaneers more than probably on-field production. But I have some confidence in what the on-field production could be with the weapons they have around. And then, of course, like you mentioned, Scott Turner having to put it all together and employ these weapons the right way. Great stuff from you, Julian. I appreciate you joining us. Again, guys, host of Locked On Panthers podcast 5 days a week. Check him out over there if you want some honest and some concise analysis. On Twitter as well, at Julian Council. Julian, thank you so much, brother. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, David, anytime.
All right, again, big shout out to Julian Council. Really greatly appreciate him jumping on with us, talk about a little bit of everything, as it turns out. Went into it looking to talk Curtis Samuel, spread over a lot of topics. So great insight there from Julian. Much appreciated. Just like we appreciate our friends over at rockauto.com, who remind us that with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of vehicles, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you're ever going to need. Plus, they have different pricing tiers for do-it-yourselfers and professionals. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts at a chain store or a car dealership when you can go to rockauto.com and get you a fuel pump for a Honda Odyssey for $216 compared to $353 at some major chain stores. Bottom line is, guys, rockauto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and they have everything you could ever need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Back now to wrap up today's episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. David Harrison on Twitter at dharrison. 82 Locked On Washington Football Team podcast on Twitter at LockedWFTPod. My co-host Chris Russell off for today's episode. Find him on Twitter at RussellMania621. And we're talking Madden 22 coming out, promising a whole lot of upgrades to the franchise mode. We'll see if they deliver. A lot of angst going around the franchise by a lot of franchise enthusiasts like myself. I'm a franchise player more than anything. I dabble, you know, in the Madden Ultimate Team and the online stuff and all that. You know, I get the draw to it, but I'm an old school guy. I'm 38 years old, you know, so I've been playing Madden for a long, long time. I'm a franchise fan, so hopefully they do right by us franchise folks. But of course, this time of year, you have the cover reveal already. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady going to be on the cover. Now we're starting to get some of the ratings. And the 99 Club has come out. No Washington Football Team members on the 99 Club in the 99 overall club. But for those of you who are interested, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Jalen Ramsey of the Los Angeles Rams, tight end Travis Kelce, also the Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Rams defensive end Aaron Donald, Green Bay Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams, all on the in the 99 club this year. Patrick Mahomes, his third year in the 99 overall club. And then you go to the team ratings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers topping the list, 92 overall with a 90 defensive rating and a 92 offensive rating. The Kansas City Chiefs are second overall with 90 overall. Their defensive rating, though, guys, 78, which is it's kind of accurate. The Washington Football Team comes in 81 overall with an 81 defensive rating. I have a feeling that's going to go up throughout the duration of the year, and a 76 offensive rating. So just to put it kind of in perspective, right, 81 as a total defensive rating, guys, is along the likes of the New York Giants, who are 82, the Minnesota Vikings, who are number 80 or 81 overall for defense, and then well behind units like the Denver Broncos, who come in at 86. The Los Angeles Rams actually even have an 83. I think their defense is a little bit better than that as well. So we'll have to see how those team ratings go. But then, of course, you look over at the rookie ratings, and Kyle Pitts, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, leads all rookies with an 81 overall ranking, while the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, quarterback Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars, comes in at 78 overall. Getting specifically to the Washington Football Team, no players, guys, on this roster coming in at launch, starting the season with a 90 or more rating. Kendall Fuller and Terry McLaurin tied for the tops on the franchise, on the Washington Football Team, with 89 overall ratings. So nearly cracking the 90 threshold, but not quite cracking the 90 threshold. Pretty sure they're both going to do so as the season gets in. A newly re-signed defensive lineman, Jonathan Allen, comes in at 88 overall. Brandon Scherff, the guy who wants to be a lifelong WFTer, comes in at 87 overall, as does Daron Payne, his reserve COVID-19 list buddy. Chase Young comes in at 86 overall, and if he does what Chris and I and a lot of other people hope he's going to do, of course, that rating will come in much, much higher when the season is over. New addition William Jackson III comes in at an 86 overall as well. Fellow new addition Curtis Samuel comes in at 83. Landon Collins returning to the team. Strong safety listed here at Madden. We'll see where Jack Del Rio employs him, comes in at a 79 overall. Quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick is the top rated quarterback according to Madden on this roster, and he comes in at 75 overall. First round draft pick Jamin Davis, listed as a right outside linebacker by Madden 22 at launch, comes in with a 73 overall rating. And as far as quarterback competitions are concerned, guys, behind Ryan Fitzpatrick, you don't have another quarterback ranked until you have Kyle Allen, who comes in at 65 overall. Taylor Heinicke comes in at 61 overall, so the third ranked quarterback according to Madden 22 on the Washington Football Team roster. Plenty of those ratings still out there to be found. Just head over to EA Sports website and you can find the full list of Madden ratings. Give us your reactions, give us your thoughts on Twitter or in the voicemails or in the emails, wherever you want to go. If you have a question, a topic that you want to discuss, or a comment, a take that you want to share with us, send those in to lockedwftpod@gmail.com. or call in and be part of the show by dialing 301-615-3577. We do have a voicemail from our friend Camion in the shoot that we will get to later on this week. Camion, thank you for that. If you want to join him, please, by all means, call in as well. And now that you're done listening to this episode, check out the Locked On Bets podcast, betting on the NFL, on sports in general. It doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever. Guys, I will be back tomorrow with my crossover Philadelphia Eagles preseason update and review. So make sure you come back and don't miss that. If you missed the New York Giants one with Patricia Traina, make sure you go back to Monday. Check that out as well. Of course, you can also head over to WSA9.com and find that story up on the website. Until we speak again, guys, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another. Thank you for joining right here at the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.